At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. A new campaign aims to point out the economic impacts of the ban on so-called sanctuary cities in Texas, as well as the phase-out of the federal immigration program known as DACA. The Mexican-American Legislative Caucus is behind the multi-state campaign called Not in My State. Democratic State Representative Mary Gonzalez says the campaign will help fight sanctuary city legislation being discussed by other state legislatures.
Today is our launching of the Not in My State campaign. There's press conferences in all over the country, and from there there will be op-eds, conversations, policies, resolutions to make sure that that this policy doesn't go to other states.
The Texas law was to go into effect September 1st, but was placed on hold by a federal judge. It would allow local law enforcement officers to question the immigration status of people they arrest or detain. Law enforcement leaders who don't honor immigration detainer requests could be removed from office or go to jail. The federal DACA program gives work permits to young people in the country illegally. From the ban on so-called sanctuary cities to the DACA program phase-out, undocumented Texans say they fear being deported. That fear is keeping many from feeling safe outside their homes, and some are skipping appointments with doctors and dentists. As KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports, that has big implications for their health.
Many undocumented immigrants are on edge.
Texas has now banned sanctuary cities.
The program, known as DACA, is being rescinded.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
Build the wall!
All of that has become toxic for undocumented immigrants, says Juan Carlos Cerda. He's a dreamer, undocumented, and a recipient of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, DACA. His parents brought him to the U.S. illegally when he was just a kid. Cerda is an immigration campaign organizer in Dallas at the Texas Organizing Project. At home and at work, he says he hears the same thing.
A lot of people in the community are just worried about going out into the streets and coming in contact with a raid or just seeing ICE officers. So there's a lot of fear and a lot of threats coming from a lot of different places.
He says their greatest fear is losing family, and so they're willing to risk a lot to stay together, even their own health.
Sometimes when we're under a lot of stress, we forget about basic things like breathing. We put our health on hold. It can be really hard to talk to people even about what we're feeling, why we miss an appointment, why we're acting a certain way, why we're shying away from things. We just want to protect ourselves.
That isn't just happening in North Texas. It's widespread, says Karen Mountain, the CEO of the Migrant Clinicians Network, an Austin-based nonprofit that provides training and support to 10,000 federally qualified health centers around the country. Last year, they served 24 million people, many of them undocumented.
What we heard was a real significant uptick in the no-show rates. And they're also concerned about buying insurance for their kids, because that would necessitate them specifying where they live and being able to have their economics tagged.
In a recent migrant clinician survey, two-thirds of the clinics that responded said their immigrant patients have been reluctant to seek health care. Some clinics report their patients are worried about providing personal information, wary of where it would go and how it might be used against them. They're also trying to save money in case loved ones get detained. Mountain says opting out of doctor's visits, though, can be harmful.
We are looking at immunizations for infectious disease, delaying or preventing very costly care at the end stage of diabetes or hypertension, multiple hospitalizations for children with asthma because they are in poor control because their parents are afraid to bring them into care.
This all comes amid a heightened anxiety among Americans about the future of the Affordable Care Act. Many wonder why citizens who can barely afford their own health care should support those living here illegally.
It's not our job as clinicians to deny care. When that happens, we all suffer because it is more costly to the healthcare delivery system to treat end-stage disease than to catch it early.
Mountain says it only takes one story about an immigration raid or deportation to scare a family away. In April, 75 undocumented immigrants were arrested in North Texas in a federal immigration operation, and a third didn't have criminal histories. Mountain says it's up to doctors to placate those fears and support those communities in the few ways they can.
Hi, I'm Veronica, one of the social workers here at Los Barrios Unidos.
The Los Barrios Unidos Community Clinic in West Dallas released this video on its Facebook page earlier this year to address concerns from patients, the majority of whom are Latino and uninsured.
We want to reassure you that your information is treated with the utmost confidentiality.
Doctors and social workers at community clinics are relying on technology like this video to provide the best possible care for undocumented patients, methods like texting reminders and consulting via telemedicine. Jefferson Dental Clinic is a network of clinics across Dallas-Fort Worth that has served low-income multicultural communities for 50 years. They have deployed a social media campaign and a Spanish website called Estamos Contigo. We are with you. And earlier this year, the clinic hosted a Know Your Rights panel with Telemundo, civil rights lawyers, and the Mexican consulate. They live-streamed the event on Facebook for those who were uncomfortable leaving home. Dr. Renee Townsend is the regional dental director of Jefferson Dental. She says several of their clinics have noticed a downturn in appointments and emptier waiting rooms. It's hard to quantify, she says, but the fear is undeniable.
We have to constantly assure our patients that we will give them very good care in a very private setting. I can't think of one single time that we've ever had an immigrations officer come into our offices. So we give constant assurance that at least in our office, they are safe.
For the medical community, treating undocumented patients isn't just about addressing their physical ailments. It's about understanding and accommodating what patients experience outside the clinic doors. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Before becoming president, Donald Trump made a name for himself as a real estate mogul with a philanthropic streak. He cemented that persona as host of The Celebrity Apprentice, a show that raised money for charity. Washington Post reporter David Fahrenthold won a Pulitzer Prize for his investigation into Trump's giving. Today on Think, he talked with Chris Boyd about how his reality TV show really gave out its donations.
Celebrities in The Celebrity Apprentice were all playing for charity. They weren't playing for themselves. And so Trump had to fire one every episode. And he would often, as part of the firing sort of ceremony or dramatic moment at the end, he would say, now, Khloe Kardashian, I have to fire you because you didn't cook the souffle right. You know, so you're not going to win any more money for your charity. But I, Donald Trump, will give you money for your charity to make up for it. Like so much of Trump's public image was constructed on that show, and this was part of that image, that he was somebody who was prone to these sort of spontaneous, generous acts of philanthropy. And so I went back and cataloged all the times he'd done that on the show and then went back to figure out, okay, did he really do it? And in almost every case, the charity that the celebrity was playing for did get the money, but in none of the cases was it ever Trump's money. Sometimes he would give from the Trump Foundation, which again was never his actual money, wasn't actually out of his own wallet. And sometimes he would just have the show pay them. You know, there was a pot of money that the show used for giving the actual winnings. If you won that week, they'd give something to your charity. The charities usually got the money, but it was never, you know, what Donald Trump made it out to be.
David Fahrenthold is the author of Uncovering Trump, The Truth Behind Donald Trump's Charitable Giving. Fahrenthold will appear at the Texas Tribune Festival later this month in Austin, and Think will be broadcasting live from the festival. Find more details on the festival and to subscribe to the Think podcast, visit think.kera.org. And coming up tomorrow, Dallasites Cynthia and Alan Mundell have been married for 48 years, and for most of the time, they've made films together. A retrospective of their documentaries airs tomorrow on KERA-TV. In this week's edition of The Big Screen, the Mundells talked about their partnership. That conversation is tomorrow morning at 8:22 during Morning Edition. Should be mostly clear skies later tonight with a low around 68. Tomorrow, sunny, with a high near 94. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.